Mark chapter 4. I want to begin there tonight, and I have some things that are near and dear to my heart to hopefully impart concerning the Word of God, and specifically the power of God's Word working in our hearts, ultimately working in our lives. I've been sharing on the different things that the Bible says, the Scriptures say, about the Word of God and the impact it has and the influence it has, not only again in our heart lives, but even in our culture. And so we want to look at God's Word and continue where I left off. We're in our sixth and final hour, but I want to summarize some things tonight. And again, there's some things that I really believe can make a major difference in your life quickly if you can open your heart and receive these simple things out of God's Word tonight. Mark chapter 4, Jesus is explaining to His disciples the parable of the sower sowing the word. Mark chapter 4, verse 13 is where He begins the explanation of the parable. And we're all familiar with it, so I won't read the parable, then read the explanation. We'll just read the explanation. Verse 13, "And He said unto them, Know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables?" In other words, this was the most important parable that Jesus taught. And if you do not get this one, if you don't understand this one, that's going to affect your lack of understanding concerning all the other parables. On the contrary to that is, when you understand the parable of the sower sowing the word, it unlocks the other parables and understanding them. That's why I spend so much time on this parable. Verse 14 says, "The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they've heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it, the word, becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, verse 21 is not a different thought. He's not changing directions here. He's elaborating on what He just taught. Verse 21 says, "And He said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 24, "And He said unto them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, or how you hear, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath." Now, this is a parable of the kingdom and how God's word works in our lives. And I literally apply these passages to my life on a semi-regular, nearly a daily basis. I think of this in my everyday life. That's why I minister on it a lot, is because it's a part of my walk in the kingdom of heaven. I need to understand what He's saying and apply this, because I want the word sown in my heart, and I want to know how that works. Then I want to know how it's watered. Then I want to know how it takes root. And then I want to bear fruit. I don't want to just go through the motions. I don't believe you want to go through the motions. As a church, I refuse to just go through the motions. If we can't make a difference, if we can't count, I just assume shut this puppy down and sell the place and give the money to the poor and go to the Bahamas, amen, or something like that. On the other hand, I want to know, okay, I'm bearing fruit, and so I'm pursuing God and impact and influence. That's what I want. I want my life to count. And as a church, we're pursuing God, and we want our church to count. We want the church to have impact. Well, we want individually, and we want corporately, independent of an understanding of God's Word and how it works in our hearts and how it works in our lives. Basically, we have four kinds of ground. We got someone that is sowing seed, and the seed has the power in the seed to reproduce after its own kind. He says the seed is the word. The ground is people's hearts, their lives. Some people are by the wayside, the first ground. The second ground is stony ground. The third ground is full of thorns or vines. And then the fourth ground are those that have a good heart, have the right kind of heart. And the word has an effect on them, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, the first one, he didn't tell us how Satan got it, but he said that immediately the devil cometh and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Why is Satan after the word before it gets sown in your heart? Because it's the word that's going to change your life. You can't change your life. You can't quit certain things. You can't start certain things. But if you get that word in you, that word will change your life. That word will impact you. That word will empower you. That word will enable you to obey God rather than disobey God. It will enable you, empower you to be all God's called you to be and to do all God's called you to do. And when you don't understand it, listen to me carefully, the devil understands it. He knows he's got to keep this word from getting in your heart, because if it gets in your heart and takes root in time, you're going to bear much fruit. So how does the devil get it initially? Mark didn't tell us. That's why you have to read different writers of this account. Matthew told us how the first ground is affected adversely by Satan. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, Matthew's telling the same parable, and he told us in verse 19 how the devil gets it on this ground by the wayside. He said immediately the wicked one comes and steals it because they didn't understand it. When you don't understand the word of the kingdom, when you don't understand what God is saying, that's how Satan steals the word, and you just become religious, not productive in the kingdom. Amen? And so he's trying to keep you from understanding me or another anointed speaker or another ministry gift. And that's how he steals the word from you. So you have to pay attention. See, that's why some people bear this amount of fruit, and it varies, and other people more fruit. It's not on God's end. He's not picking and chewing. God ain't picking and chewing. He ain't picking and grinning either, amen. God's not picking and choosing. Who bears 30, who 60, and who 100-fold? That's on our end and our ability to hear, receive, and abide in that word. And some people, let's be honest, everyone is paying attention to a measure. And I do always commend you for your ability to focus, your ability to listen. But no one knows your heart but you and God. I can't really tell what's going on in your heart. Your spouse can't tell, your kids or your parents. Some of you, you may be looking right at me, but you're not hearing this principle. You're not valuing what I'm saying. You're shopping for groceries in your mind right now. And so the devil is stealing the word, and you're not even aware of it. Or you're upset at something. Or you're mad about this. Or you're thinking about the air conditioning or the presentation. Or on and on I could go. We don't know what's going on. But that is something you have to learn, that is a tactic of the devil, is to confuse you, is to distract you, to get your attention off of what I'm saying, or to get you to devalue the impact of what I'm trying to say to you. That's how he steals it. Some people come in here, buddy, and they are ready to hear. They're ready to listen. They're focused. Their hearts are open. And I mean, they aren't letting anything, renegade thoughts, distractions, other people, yesterday's problems, tomorrow's worries. They're not letting any of that affect their mind right now. They're focused. So that word's getting in there, and it's going to have an impact, an effect. Amen? All right, the second ground, he says the second ground, and this one's interesting, it is a stony ground, hard ground. He says in verse 16 that when they hear the word, immediately receive it. So they heard and they received. And they received it with gladness. But this is interesting, verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I taught you years ago, and I really would like to reteach those tapes. I stand amazed at how popular they really are and the impact they've had. not everything I teach has the impact that those tapes had, and that's the tapes on offense. It's amazing how many people's lives have been changed through those tapes and how many of those go out. And again, they're getting older, and I'd like to reteach them, but everybody's listening to them, it seems like, all the time. So I appreciate that, but maybe some time will pass and I can reteach them again because I've grown. But I remember the first time I taught that here, how it really did surprise everyone that is one of Satan's weapons to steal the word out of your heart that you're not aware of. He brings offense. And when you take offense, you took the bait, the snare of the devil, to steal whatever word I'm putting in your heart. If you get offended at me, it's really the enemy stealing the word, and people aren't aware of that. Affliction, persecution will arise for the word's sake. I remember early in the faith movement, when people would have problems, people would actually say, well, brother, if you had more faith, you wouldn't be having these problems. How dumb. Amen. Oh, okay, it was y'all that said that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. That's dumb. It's insensitive. That's plumb cruel to look at a believer and say, if you had more faith, you wouldn't be having these problems. A lot of the problems, nearly all the problems I have are because of faith. It's because I've put the word in my heart. And the devil knows if that word stays in there, if I stay pregnant with it long enough and don't abort or don't miscarry, I'm going to bring forth much, much, much fruit. And so he's warring against that word on the inside of me with affliction, persecution. Timothy said that in this world, no, Jesus said in this world you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Timothy said, or Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, that all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And see, if you don't get some root in yourself, then you won't endure. You'll quit. You'll give up. Now, I usually don't do what I'm about to do, but I sincerely want to be right. And if I even think I'm maybe wrong, I want to be honest right up front. I want to share something that the Lord definitely spoke to me out of that passage. And I believe it applies. I believe it can apply twofold. The first way it definitely applies, he's literally talking about, because you don't endure, you don't press through, you're not patient, you give up too quick on God, get offended too easy, you never allow the word to really take root. It's just shallow in your heart, so the devil's able to pluck it up. So we know that's part of the interpretation for sure. Let me tell you what I believe in part, at least that saying that God definitely spoke to me. I wasn't bearing fruit because I had no root in myself for years. I went to church, I heard the word, but because of insecurity, inferiority, complexes, self-deprivation, I had no root in myself. I'm not talking about root in my flesh, that part of myself. I'm talking about I didn't see my worth, I didn't see my value. I was so filled with insecurities, so filled with inferiorities, had so many complexes, I would get offended so easily. The word was being stole by the devil because I had no root in myself. It was when I discovered who I was in Jesus, and when I discovered my value, listen, and I got some root in who I am in Jesus, rooted in the new creation, rooted and grounded in the kingdom, rooted and grounded in who I am in the Spirit, rooted and grounded in my relationship with God, got root in myself, that I was able to now endure the persecution, endure the affliction, endure people coming against me, coming at me, and not giving up, giving out, or anything of that nature. I see people all the time because they have no root in themselves. They're so full of insecurity, inferiority, and complexes. You can't get the word in them. You can't even, they don't even know how to hear. And I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. When he said, take heed what you hear, he's really talking about, at least in part again, not just what you hear like Hollywood. You need to take heed what you hear from Hollywood. That'll mess you up. Amen. What you hear from the mainstream press. You better take heed what you hear. And the measure you meet to it, it's going to be multiplied unto you, and it's death. It's propaganda. Okay, that never does fly, but I'm right, and I know I'm right about that. And so you got to take heed what you hear. But what he's talking about is some people don't know how to hear clear. Now, you've never done this, But I was so full of insecurity, I was so full of complex, I had no root in myself, I didn't know how to hear. You would even try to give me a compliment, and I couldn't receive it. I couldn't hear it. I'd read something into it that you didn't say or you didn't mean. I'm really helping you more than you think I am. Boy, you sure look nice today in that dress. Oh, so he didn't like the way I looked yesterday. You're laughing. I can't tell you how many times I've had problems in the church and find out what I said, and that's not what I said. I'm not saying you didn't hear what you thought you heard, but that's not what I said. You didn't learn how to hear. Most of you go your whole life, unfortunately, and you're never taught by your pastor how to hear the heart, how to hear the spirit of what's being said to you. Not read between the lines bad things, but read between the lines even the good things that somebody's trying to communicate to you. Just like me coming up to you going, hey, you need to stop that. You need to quit that. That's going to destroy your life. You didn't hear my heart. You didn't hear what I said. And with the measure you hear, it's going to be multiplied back to you. So if you heard I don't like you and I'm mad at you and you meditate on that, it multiplies on the inside of you. For you know it, you're having the fall aparts. You won't talk to me. You're upset at me. And it's because you weren't taught to take heed what you hear. Am I making sense? You got no root in yourself. You're so full of inferiority, insecurity, complexes, self-deprivation, that you can't receive a compliment. You don't hear what was said. You can't receive correction. See, how many of you know you can't grow up? You can't be used mightily by God if you can't be corrected. But how many people don't know how to hear when they're being corrected? He's mad at me. He doesn't like me. He's attacking me. He's running me down. Are you okay? Amen. You understand I'm just giving you illustrations of everybody in Durant. Amen. I'm not talking about y'all. Relax. So you got to learn how to hear. Anytime I say something negative and I'm here, I'm talking about Durant. When I'm in Durant, they got to know how to hear. I'm talking about y'all. We've got to get these things rooted in us. And we've got to get some root in ourselves, rooted and grounded in the love of God, rooted and grounded in who you are in Christ, rooted and grounded in your call, your gifts, or you will not be able to bear much fruit. Man, that is so powerful, what I'm saying to you. And that come out of this second ground. The third ground is on ground that's full of thorns. And they choke the word of God. Like a vine. It chokes it. Now, the Lord spoke to me out of that years ago because my attitude was right. But I had missed this truth. And years ago, I would even say publicly, there is nothing on the planet more powerful than the Word of God. And that is a correct statement to a measure, that God's Word is powerful. And then I would carry it a little further and say, it'll overcome anything. Okay? Then I go to reading this and I found out, wait a minute, there's three things that will choke the Word of God. Kill it in your heart. I can put it in your heart and it'll make you more than a conqueror. It'll cause you to overcome anything in this life. But if you let the cares of this world, the lust of other things, and the deceitfulness of riches enter, it says those three things will overpower the word in your heart. And that explained a lot to me about why so many people struggle. They love God. They come to church. They nod their head and act spiritual. And so I think, praise God, we're going to see some fruit here. We're going to see some power. That word's going to work. And remember now, if you're visiting tonight, you've got to go back and get the tapes. I discussed that your heart is like a womb. The word is seed. The seed is sown in the womb of your heart. And like a womb of a woman where seed is sown, life is created at conception, but there's a time frame for that life that comes to and at the uniting of the seed and the egg. And if she doesn't abort, if she doesn't miscarry, in 9 months, she will bring forth a baby. So it is with God's Word. God's Word is seed. It has the life in it. It has the power in it. It is sown in the womb of your heart. And then I talked about an IUD. I talked about how soon I had to make a choice. On birth control 25 years ago, when we got married, and when they presented our options, one of them was an IUD, and they told us that what happens is that conception happens in the usage of an IUD, but you technically miscarries what you do. And so soon, there was no praying about that. There was no debate over that. Nope, we're not going there. And yet people go to church and they don't understand that the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things are like an IUD in the womb of your heart. I can put the Word in there and life will explode. I can put the Word in there and there will be some creative forces that are happening on the inside of you, but you will miscarry if you keep worrying. You got to quit tripping. Amen? The cares of this world will enter in and choke that life. You'll lose it. The lust of other things. The deceitfulness of riches. Those three things are primary enemies that you have to be taught, be aware of, and prayerfully consider your whole Christian life. Because it doesn't matter how far you go in God, the temptation to worry is always there. Anxiety, stress, fear is knocking on my door every day. But see, I have to look at that and go, now, I can either sit here and wring my hands and worry about this issue. I can either let stress and anxiety get into my heart and just wring my hands over people's attitudes and the things they're doing and all that's going on and allow then something to happen in my heart that I'm not aware of where I lose the seed. I lose what God's saying to me that if it would take root and if I knew how to water it and bring it to full term, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, Mark chapter 4. First trimester, second trimester, third trimester. Everything in the natural points to the supernatural. And just like a woman goes through these trimesters of growth and development of the child, the word sown in your heart will not change your life overnight always. Sometimes God's just good. He's just merciful. He just, boom, does something overnight for you. And thank God for it. But that's not the norm. The norm is you sow the seed. First trimester is the blade, second trimester the ear, third trimester the full corn in the ear. You will bring forth much fruit if you don't abort through rebellion, I'll deal with that, and sin, unrepented sin, or miscarry by allowing these IUDs to be put in your heart because it's your choice. You don't have to worry, saints. You don't have to be full of anxiety and fear. That's a choice. You say, well, I didn't choose that. Yeah, you're choosing to think on the wrong stuff and it's going to produce worry and it affects the word in your heart. You and I choose whether we pursue the deceitfulness of riches. He didn't say riches, thank God. Riches do not choke the word of God. The deceitfulness of riches. There's a deceit that comes with money. What's the deceit? It'll fix all my problems. What's the deceit? If I had more, I'd be happy. So you pursue a mirage your whole life to get more money, to get happy. And the more you get, the more unhappy you get. But you keep thinking, if I get more, I'll be more happy. So before you know it, you're not in church, you're not reading the Bible, you're not praying, you're not sowing the seed. You're pursuing the almighty dollar. It's a deceit, the deceitfulness of riches. The lust of other things, man, that's got us all. Lusting for someone's anointing will choke the word of God and anointing in your own life. Lusting for somebody else's position in the church. Man, I'm preaching better than you're responding. Amen. There's reasons why we're miscarrying. And God told us what the reasons were, so we should be mindful of them. Amen. All right. Then we get to the fourth ground, and that's the good ground. That's the ground I choose to believe you are. Victory Life is the good ground. You, thank you. You know, compliment me and you bow up. Compliment you and you quiet. When I compliment you, shout. Amen. All right, so Victory Life is the good ground. I'm the good farmer. I'm the good guy. I have a white hat in the spirit. I'm not your problem. I'm not your enemy. I'm sowing good seed. I'm a good farmer. I got me some good seed, And I have seed that I'm sowing that if you will embrace the seed, if you'll accept the seed, if you'll train yourself to hear, then receive, then water that seed and carry it to full term, it is impossible for your life not to be changed and God's will to not come to pass. Amen? All right. Again, it starts with your hearing, then your receiving, then watering and patience, giving it time to work in your life. Now, that really is simple. And it would behoove us all to go over it and go over it and look at our lives, because we either get impatient, we get in a hurry trying to make things happen and create a problem for the seed, or, again, we're not hearing clear. That's why you need to even take tapes at times. And it would shock you. You were here. You were listening. But let a week go by and listen to that tape again, and you will hear things, I promise, that you didn't hear even being here live. See, that's one of the ways you even water it, is by hearing and hearing and hearing, going over it, going over it, going over it. Now, let me share one of the most powerful revelations I've ever received. Luke chapter 1, the virgin birth. The virgin birth. Now, the virgin birth is a mystery. And yet, within that mystery of the virgin birth, the whole kingdom of heaven is unlocked. When we talk about putting the word in our heart and bringing forth fruit, what better illustration could God have given us than a virgin and putting the word in her womb, and didn't she bring forth fruit? What was the fruit? The word. So while it's a mystery and a miracle, we can see some principles of the kingdom unlocked through this powerful woman of God, Mary, this saint of God. She was awesome. Her faith was awesome. And the things I just taught you, I'm going to show you, she applied them. She walked in them supernaturally and brought forth the word, the living word of God, which is much, much, much fruit. And so while it's a mystery, we need to understand that there's still some things within a mystery we can understand. See, there's two ditches about a mystery, and you can get in either ditch. The Bible talks about the mystery of godliness, the mysteries of the kingdom. Revelation 1:20 talks about the mystery of the seven stars. The Bible talks about the mystery of iniquity. See, within iniquity, there's a mystery. What's a mystery? A mystery is a divine secret hidden in God. A divine secret hidden in God. Remember Mark chapter 4, God said, there is nothing hidden that shall not be made manifest. He wasn't talking about your sins and God exposing you at church. He was talking about light in the context, revelation in the context. There is nothing hidden that God, before the last day, doesn't will and won't bring forth to light. Amen? So, the first ditch of a mystery is, it's a mystery. You can't understand anything about it. A lot of people believe that way. They believe God's too hard to understand. The Bible's too hard to understand. It's all a mystery. You never know. How many of you heard stuff like, you never know what God's going to do? What a stupid thing to say. I know what God's going to do. He's going to do what's right. He's going to do good. He's going to keep his own word. I know what he's going to do, and I know how he's going to do it. He's going to do what's right, and he's going to do it in love. Amen. There's a lot about God that we should know and will progressively come to know if we keep walking with him. He's unlocking these divine secrets. We can't just act like we can't understand anything, so just be dumb and unproductive and hope you get through life and make it. No. The other ditch, though, is that we understand all there is to know. I don't care what you know about what, there's more to know. Amen? God has more. Well, when it comes to the virgin birth, most people just go, well, that's a miracle, that's a mystery. And yet within that mystery of the virgin birth and the miracle of the virgin birth is the mystery of the kingdom and how God's word comes into the womb of your heart, how you carry it, and how you bring forth fruit. All right, so let's see if we can understand some of this and something out of it. A lot of passages here, but this is worth reading. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what matter of salutation this should be. Notice she's thinking. Okay. I went back to a few weeks ago when I talked about how it's okay to think. She's running this through her mind. What is this? What does this mean? Verse 30 says, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now I need to read the whole thing and come back. I'm not any good at that. I read and get excited. How many of you know that it was okay for her to ask a question? Why? If I don't understand what you're saying, the devil will come immediately and steal the word you're trying to sow into the womb of Mary. The womb of her heart. It was in the womb of her heart as well. So, I mean, she is operating in that first ground immediately. I have to understand what you're saying. How in the world am I going to have a baby seeing I don't have a relationship with a man? Because, I mean, if you know, that's how it works. What about the rest of you? You know that's how it works, right? You have to have a relationship to have a baby. I remember I had a prayer line going one time, and this lady came up, and I've prayed for many a people, many a persons that weren't able to have children, and they've brought forth children. So that gets out on you after a while, and so people ask you to pray for them pretty regularly when you go out on the road because of that kind of thing. And this lady asked me to pray for her to have a baby. She had heard on a tape that I'd prayed for people and they'd had a baby. And I said, well, sure, I'll pray for you to have a baby, but it helps to have the prayer of agreement and for your husband to be in agreement with me. Is your husband here? And then he looked right at me and she said, I don't have a husband. How many of you know I can lay hands on that lady till she's bald and she ain't going to conceive? It doesn't work that way. She needs to get married and let her husband lay hands on her. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how it works. Well, Mary's not stupid. You're telling me I'm going to have a baby and I have no relations with a man. How? Now listen, here's the power of what I'm saying to you. The angel answered her question. There's a novel idea. I submit to you, and I've never heard anybody talk about this. I submit to you the angel who was asked the question, answered the question, how to miraculously conceive the word and bring forth fruit. Amen. How am I going to have a baby? Because, you know, I know if I don't understand it, the devil will steal what you're saying to me and I won't bring forth any fruit. All right, here we go. Verse 35 says, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now watch this. This is important. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Notice that she said, okay, be it unto me according to your word. So she heard the word, she understood the word, and then she accepted it by faith. She said, be it unto me according to your word. Verse 45 confirms that she had faith, that she believed God. She accepted his word. And blessed is she that believeth. Everybody say believeth. for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Notice, when you believeth, God performeth. When you believeth, God performeth. I don't believeth and then performeth. I believeth and the seed, the word, performeth. All right, verse 39 says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, now watch this. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Just in case I don't get back, look at Mary. She got excited now and started prophesying too. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. You get kicked out of a church if you said that. How arrogant could she be? She said all generations are going to call her blessed. Who does she think she is? She had some root in herself, amen. She knew her value. She accepted what God said about her, not what everybody else said about her. And so she was able to conceive and bring forth the Holy Child Jesus. Now, first thing, let's start over again. She heard and then asked a question. I need to understand this. I'm not just going to hear and misunderstand. I'm not going to hear and misapply. I do not understand what you're saying to me. The difference between Mary and Zechariah, who was Elizabeth's husband, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, who this same angel came to, and he didn't ask a question. If you'll go back and study his comments, he questioned God. And God slapped his mouth and made him dumb. What's your excuse? Some of you just don't like that, I guess. I thought that was good too. You know, I don't know what my excuse is, but Zechariah at least had an excuse. God slapped him and made him dumb. Hallelujah. Why? Because he wasn't asking a question. He was questioning God. And there's a difference in questioning the Word of God and asking a question about, what do you mean, God? Because I have to take heed what I hear. I have to hear clear. I have to understand, or the devil's going to steal it. Number two, she accepted the Word of God. She received it with gladness. Number one, she heard. And she heard clear, and she sought clarification. What are you saying, and what do you mean? You need to learn to be that way and that kind of person. You'll have a better marriage if you learn to hear clear. You'll have a better relationship with your children if you learn to hear clear. And when you're not sure, ask for clarification. It's just wisdom, amen? Then she received it. She said, be it unto me according to your word. Now watch this. Why did God bring Elizabeth up and Elizabeth conceiving miraculously John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, the cousin of Jesus? Why did God bring that up? Why did the angel bring that up when he's discussing this with Mary? Because remember, she said and asked, how is this going to happen? Why talk about Elizabeth? To cause her to have faith. It quickened her faith that if God can bless Elizabeth, if God, through Elizabeth's faith, can cause her who was barren to have child, then that quickens my faith, that testimony quickens my faith to believe God for a miracle. That's why I'm teaching you on Sunday morning. Get away from negative people. Get away from people full of doubt and unbelief. Get out of a church that knows more of what they don't believe instead of what to believe. You get around people of faith, it quickens your faith. You get around people of doubt and unbelief who can't hear, you won't hear good either, and your not hearing good will be multiplied, and you'll get worse and worse and worse at hearing. Just like if you can't hear clear and I say something and you hear something negative, if you don't fix that, that thing will be multiplied on the inside of you and it'll be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Your confusion will get worse and worse and worse. But if you learn to hear clear and keep on hearing, then you grow, your heart is enlarged, etc., etc. So number one, she heard. She heard, then I want to understand. She asked for clarification. Number two, I receive it. Be it unto me according to your word. Now, this is so cool. Number three, she goes to a fellow believer. She gets around somebody who knows how to believe God. She gets around somebody that's operating in the supernatural. And as soon as they got together, listen, instead of a miscarriage. Oh, my God, that's so good. I know. I got to get this out. I'm sorry. I'm just so excited. Instead of a miscarriage or an abortion through rebellion to God's word and will, she got around somebody of faith. She got around somebody anointed. She got around somebody that's going to be positive, who out of the abundance of her heart would say good things. And as soon as they got together, John leaped with joy on the inside of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth started prophesying. That's the anointing of God. That's the Holy Spirit overshadowing. So instead of, listen, aborting or miscarrying the word, it strengthened the word, the promise of God on the inside of Elizabeth, which in turn strengthened the word of God on the inside of Mary, and literally the word of God in her womb. That's why I want to hang around people that are kingdom-minded, faith-believing people. I don't want to get around anybody full of gossip and envy and fear and worry. I'm not saying I don't love people that are messed up. That's half of you. I'm saying you can get around some people and they'll help you miscarry and abort your faith and the word in your heart. If you're going to enter on into their doubt and unbelief and their gossip. Here, I'm sowing the good word in your heart, and you let somebody in this church run me down, and you listen to that? You're going to have an abortion, darling. You're fixing a miscarry. But you get around somebody that loves me, who knows my heart, and the word I'm sowing in your heart now will leap on the inside of you. It'll be strengthened on the inside of you. Holy Ghost will come on you. So you need to take heed what you hear. Are you with me? Take heed what you hear. Elizabeth took heed to what she heard. She heard the good word of God and what God's doing in Mary. Whoa! Miracle on the inside of her womb just leaped. You get around somebody that knows how to trust God, believe God, say positive, edifying, grace-filled words. Whatever word's been sown in the womb of your heart will leap for joy. You won't lose it. It'll come to full term. You'll bring forth fruit like Elizabeth brought forth fruit and like Mary brought forth fruit. Now, I want to close, and I did good on my time, and I won't spend long on this, but I do want you to write it down if you're serious about your walk with God. This is just itemizing it for you. I won't spend detail on it, but how do I water the word? I know I got to hear it. I have to receive it. And I got to be patient and carry it. I got to hear it. Receive it, and carry it to full term. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. You don't just hear the word, and tomorrow your life is changed. You hear the word, it takes root on the inside. If you hear clear and keep on hearing, it'll be multiplied unto you. You'll speed the process up if you hear clear, if you keep on hearing and hearing and hearing. Then you receive. Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Lord, my healing, I just believe I receive according to your word. Lord, my prosperity, I just believe I receive according to your word. Not according to my holiness or the Dow Jones, but thank you, Jesus. According to your word, be it unto me according to your word. Then I get around people who know how to believe God. And that word just comes alive. See, I know that's why most of you like me. You don't even know why you like me. But I know that's why most of you like me is because you don't understand a spiritual thing that's going on the inside of you. When you get around me, I am speaking life. I'm talking about God, a miraculous God. I'm talking about the principles of the kingdom. And what's happening is, you're not only excited about what you're hearing to a measure, I am causing the word that's already been sown on the inside of you to leap like John leaped on the inside of Elizabeth. I'm bringing this good stuff. I'm drawing into that well. I'm drawing out of you them good things that other people even put in you. I'm watering. So something's happening on the inside. You don't even know what it is, but you go, I just like that guy. It's because I'm bringing the best out of you. I'm appealing to the best in you. Instead of bringing the worst out of you and appealing to the worst about you. Does that make sense? So, I got to hear it. I got to receive it. I have to carry it to full term. That's how it works. And what God did in the womb of Mary is still one of the most miraculous things ever happened on the planet. God literally took the law and the prophets, all the scriptures, all the full revelation of God in the old, every bit of it, just went boom into a woman's womb and became flesh. Everything God had ever said became flesh on the inside of that woman in her womb. And the angel told us how she did it, how she believed for one of the most miraculous things ever happened on the planet. She heard. She asked for clarification. What does this mean? I need to understand it, at least to a measure. The angel gave her the answer. She said, "Be it unto me according to your word." The Amplified Bible says, where God says in verse 37, after talking about Elizabeth, said, "Nothing's impossible with God." Listen at the Amplified Bible. "For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." The word has the power in and of itself to fulfill itself. All it needs is a womb. All it needs is a heart. And so that word goes in my heart, and that word has the power to perform itself. If God says something positive about me, that's a word, a seed. I just hear clear, believe I receive, and now carry it. And the word brings it to pass in my life. Ain't no wonder I'm happy. Amen. All right, four things real quick. How do I water the word? How do I water? How do I carry this thing to full term? I know how it starts. I hear, I believe I receive according to the word, and now I got to carry it. I got to walk it out. I don't want to abort. I don't want to miscarry. Number one, repentance. Prolonged unrepented sin is like a drought in your life. Remember, the angel said the Holy Spirit will overshadow it. See, the Holy Spirit is the water of God. The seed is the word of God. The Holy Spirit is the water on the word. So see, if I live in known unrepented sin, I quench the Holy Spirit. I grieve the Holy Spirit. That's the water of God. And if the seed doesn't get watered, it doesn't germinate, doesn't take root. Does that make sense? So it's not saying, and I'm not saying we have to be perfect to bring forth fruit. I'm saying we got to be repentant. Don't live in long, prolonged, habitual, unrepented sin. If you mess up, fess up. God's not holding it against you. God's not angry with you. If you prolong, though, in some type of sin and rebellion to God, what happens is you quench, you grieve the Holy Spirit, and all that word just lies there dormant. It's like a drought. Amen? Amen. Women. Amen. Everybody. Amen. We got to be repentant. I didn't say we have to be sinless perfection. I said we have to be repentant. And we all mess up. Everybody messes up. So that's not the issue. You don't have an abortion or a miscarry when you mess up of what God's doing in your life. It's just you quench the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit. And He has to overshadow the seed, the word, in order for it to germinate, in order for it to take root, in order for you to bear fruit. Just like a farmer, you don't just plant the seed one time and water it. It has to be watered for that whole season. Right? Am I doing all right? Y'all seem a little quieter. Everybody repented? Everybody living right? All right. Why aren't we shouting? It's good news, right? All right. So we live repentant. Number two, meditation. I taught you that. I taught you that last service. How when you meditate on the word, that's what you're doing. You're opening your heart up for the Holy Spirit to water it. When you ponder like Mary did. Mary not only pondered as the Holy Spirit was, or the angel was saying these things to her, she pondered what the Lord said to her throughout her full pregnancy. Did you know that? The Bible says she pondered these things that the Lord said to her over. Ponder means she went over it and went over it. What God said to her, what God said. That caused the Holy Spirit to overshadow it. Number three, fellowship. Notice Mary went and had fellowship. She had to tell somebody what God's doing, and they rejoice with her. Don't tell envious brothers about your dream. You wind up in a pit. Go to a brother. that's full of faith and power, a sister that's full of faith and power. Share your dreams. Share what God is saying to people who will rejoice with you like Elizabeth rejoiced with Mary. But you got to share. It causes it to stay alive on the inside of you. It waters it. Remember when she shared, when she started fellowshipping, Elizabeth started prophesying over her. Then what'd she do? Mary started prophesying over Elizabeth. Fellowship. That's why on Sunday morning, I don't care if you get mad at me or not, get away from negative, pessimistic, mean people. Now, everybody has a weak moment, okay? An ignorant flash. We all have an ignorant flash. But some of you have been in one for 40 years. You ain't coming out. You ain't coming out soon. And I love you and I'll help you, but I can't hang around you in my personal time because I need the seed in me watered. I got to carry some things to full term. The last thing I need is a murmurer and a complainer and a negative in the flesh. Nothing's ever right. Person speaking over my life. I'm pregnant. I carry things well. Amen. Number four. Boy, this is important. Keep on hearing. Don't quit hearing. See, that's what meditation does that I taught you. Meditation helps you keep on hearing. One of the reasons I give the tapes away is I don't want any excuses. I don't want any excuses. There's no excuse with the drive time that we have. With the road rage that's out there, you're going to get killed or kill somebody anyway. You need to get in the Word. That downtime can be productive time. Listen to those tapes. You're hearing and hearing and hearing. And you're teaching yourself to hear clear. Everybody has to be taught to hear clear. And you've got to work at it, saints. I'm still working at it. I think the reason I'm good is because, at least like Mary, I ask questions. If I'm not sure what you mean by what you just said, I ask you. What did you mean by that? Sue was in an administrative meeting with me, and she went and got my phone because one of the elders was supposed to call me, and the meeting went over, so she brings me my cell phone. She hands me my cell phone. And so the context of my life at that moment is my cell phone. But that triggered something in her memory, so she sat down, and she said, "Listen, can we have your phone? It's costing us a couple of $100 a month, and I don't want to go buy a new one. And if we could just take your phone, if we could have your phone, it would help me with this situation. Save us a little money right now. Things are tight. Can we have your phone?" I was perplexed. So I cannot believe in front of all these people you're asking for my lifeline. I have a love-hate relationship with a cell phone. Isn't that right? I've got a great marriage with my cell phone. It is truly a love-hate relationship. I hate it with a passion, but can't live a day without it. Okay, that didn't fly. Sue, I wasn't saying that's a good marriage. I mean, with a phone, that's a good marriage. The context was my cell phone. I was just stunned. And finally, she could tell I was looking like I was about to cry. Because I'm thinking, all right, if it'll help the ministry, all right, if we can't afford it, I'll give you my cell. And then it hit her that I misunderstood. I thought she's talking about my cell phone. She's talking about my office phone. I'm never in my office. Can we have your phone? But it was her fault, not my fault. You were there. You know I'm right. I'm not making sense, Emma. I'm sorry. I'm saying it sounded, what I heard was, can I have your phone? This is my phone. That phone in my office is not my phone. That's the church's phone. Wars between countries take place because of miscommunication like that. Thank God her and I have been together long enough. She saw the perplexed look. She could tell I didn't know what she said. I heard what she said, but I didn't hear what she said. Take heed what you hear. See, what I heard was, you want my personal phone. What she said was, can we have your phone? Meaning the phone behind me. All I'm saying to you is you have to teach yourself and train yourself to hear people clear. We use different terminology. We have different mannerisms. You have to learn to hear the heart. You have to learn to hear the spirit. Just like with the word, some people take the letter of it and kill, but there's a spirit behind this, and if you can hear the spirit behind it, it is all good news. It's all powerful. It's all profound. It's nothing but God's good pleasure in your life, if you know how to hear. If you don't know how to hear, your whole life can be even messed up reading the Bible. Amen. Well, that was the end. It wasn't a big bang at the end, but I hope you were blessed. I'm praying for you to repent. I'm praying for you to meditate. I'm praying for you to fellowship with people of like faith that know how to trust God. And I pray you keep on hearing and keep on hearing. Because with the measure you meet, it's going to be measured back to you again. If you hear clear, you'll hear clearer and clearer and clearer. If you don't know how to hear, it gets worse and worse and worse. So I want you to stand. I want to pray for you. I love you. It's been a great series. You made it a great series because you had a good ear to hear. Amen. Father, thank you for such good hearers. Thank you for such good listeners. Thank you for such good ground. Lord, I believe I did a good job, not because of me in and of myself, but because of you and your anointing and gift in my life, but because of the people's good heart. I bless their hearts. I bless their eyes to see and their ears to hear. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. We choose to hear right. We choose to hear the heart. We choose to hear what people mean, not what we thought they meant, not what it sounded like they meant, not how I feel like they meant. I want to discipline my flesh and learn to hear clear, learn to hear people's heart, learn to work through and ask questions. If Mary had to ask the angel, what does this mean? How's it going to happen? Then I can ask people, what does that mean and how does that work? How does that work? What do you mean? And I thank you that we're going to bear much fruit. I pray that we hear, receive, and carry the word to full term. And I praise you for much fruit around here. In Jesus' name and for his glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap.